Okay, so let's turn to the unique trends to consider. There's a whole bunch of, because infrastructure goes to the heart of just about everything. It really is at the center of things. There are a couple of different trends I want to just point out that make designing and implementing infrastructure tricky right now. The first is covert goals versus productivity and risk management. There are numerous reasons why our society keeps infrastructure building and infrastructure goals secret, and that includes national security and business competition. The problem is that secrecy often comes at a very high cost. It leads to this Orwellian world where the official explanations are very, very different than what's really going on, and that can create all sorts of misunderstandings. You don't get the benefits of group intelligence when you have open source design and analysis and the competition associated with it. You get a much better result. Secrecy, in particular, protects incompetence, and you get mediocre people rising who are good at lying and stealing or using force to assert themselves, but lousy at getting things done in the real world, including building infrastructure. That's what you get when you get bridges that fall down. There is significant global infrastructure investment right now, which is engineered in secret. And I think managing infrastructure's going needs while maintaining that secrecy is part of the reason for the push for central control and sort of dumbing people down. And I should also mention there is a long historical relationship between wanting to amass significant resources for infrastructure, and if you do it in secret, then you end up with totalitarian systems, and that includes slave labor. And that's a real concern. So I'm someone who always argues for transparency around these issues, because if you look at what we need to do in the infrastructure area, to the extent that that's driving the desire for totalitarian systems, you know, we want to nip that in the bud because we don't want to all end up as slave labor. And if you look at some of the different, if you go back and listen to the Solari report that I did with Adam Trombley on entrainment technology, it's one of the reasons I'm so concerned about that, because slave labor does not necessarily require the traditional physical chains. It can also have electronic chains as well. Power and currency wars. One of the challenges you have in designing infrastructure right now is the U.S. dollar is based on a fossil fuel standard. And that means your currency model and your global investment model are all tied into what your energy sources are. And for planning of infrastructure, it would be a lot easier if they weren't tied in, if you could do the currency separate from having to rig one of your most important energy components into one thing. So just remember, a jump the curve infrastructure plan also may require a shift out of the 500-year-old central banking warfare model, and that's a very big change. It also can help explain why the China's Asian Investment Bank is causing so much panic amidst the leadership. Planet debt. We talked about planet debt in the first quarter, and as I said, one of the big issues with the long-term bull market in bonds coming to a close, we've literally stockpiled trillions of dollars in the bonds and derivative money markets. If we're going to move that out into other parts of the real economy, the question is, where is all that money going to go? Now, there are plenty of places in the real economy for that money to go, but they can't go into the real economy without a significant upgrade in infrastructure, because the global economy can't handle that level of investment productively unless we make those kinds of investments in infrastructure. Now, in fact, that money can be a source of investment for infrastructure. And as I said, there's plenty of money, but it's a bit of a dance. You bring that money out into the real economy, and then you're going to have to flip to an equity model, and it's a very different model than the central banking warfare model. Which brings us to planet equity, which we focused on in the annual wrap-up. And of course, again, if that money's going to come out, where is it going to come out? Who's going to manage it? And are they going to be willing to invest in infrastructure? One part of that question is, we're now spending $1.7 trillion on military budgets on the record, and even more off the record. And so the reality is, you know, do we want to spend trillions every year on infrastructure to make war on each other, or do we want to spend trillions on getting this shift to an equity model in the infrastructure right and breaking away the capacity to go into space? So these are very big questions, and they're right. That's why I say we're at the crossroads. They're right at the heart of all the different issues we're looking at, whether it's currency, investment model, or infrastructure. Another one, again, rebalancing the global economy, enhancing productivity for space exploration. If we're going to become a multi-planet civilization, that has dramatic impacts for infrastructure and dramatic opportunities, because if you look at how much we're going to have to gather in terms of resources and what we're going to need to commit, this is a very, very big commitment. And that's why there's no reason for collapse. There's plenty to do if we're prepared to do it. Environmental alignment, we're putting tremendous stress on the planet, first and foremost with geoengineering and manipulation of the planet's electromagnetic field. Whatever's going on, it's clear if we redesign, redo our infrastructure, we can significantly realign our relationship with natural ecosystems. I, for one, believe that's going to take bringing disclosure to place-based economics so that people can, you know, choose, make the right choices. But that's a topic for another day. Municipal investment. Municipalities have traditionally been a very important source of financing for infrastructure projects, and I think they're going to continue to be. But as you integrate new technology and you collaborate broadly with other municipalities, governments, and regional associations, as well as local businesses and citizens, there's a whole new way of doing it that has municipalities playing a very important leadership role, but moves infrastructure to a much wider constituency and amasses much more resources. Insurance and risk. Typically, the only thing that gets constructed is something that can get insurance for construction. Future infrastructure investment is going to be influenced by what insurance companies are willing to underwrite and how they price the risk. And that's one of the reasons why I don't believe infrastructure investment, despite all the hoopla about privatization, will be a private affair. It's very much going to remain the domain of governments to handle the risk. But it will be very important that we do whatever it takes to make sure insurance companies are available and insurance capacity is available to handle the risk issues. Employment, robotics, artificial intelligence, all these forms of automation are in the process of radically re-engineering productivity across the society, and that's going to include outsourcing more white-collar work from the G7 into the global economy. So this process is going to continue, and now it's going to move upscale and hit the white-collar hard. We're hearing more and more politicians calling for infrastructure investment as a way to keep people employed. What I would say is that's a very bad idea. It's very important to organize infrastructure around that which produces the best total economic return to the, whether it's the national or regional or global economy as a whole, and then help your workforce build a pathway to learn the skills or to retool to do that. Because the thing that will create the most jobs is the most economic health. And so you want to design your infrastructure to build the most economic health and then help your workforce take advantage of that. And those are two separate things. You don't want to organize your infrastructure around what creates jobs for the current workforce. You want to help the workforce adapt to whatever creates the most for everybody. And that will end up with a lot more employment for those people than sort of pork barrel will.